Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
I've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
Two, three, four.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Simbi.
Yes, welcome to it as Triple M rocks the NRL finals. We do it thanks to our mates at Bryden's Lawyers right across the east coast of Australia and, of course, via the Triple M NRL app. So good to have your company today and we hope you will be with us throughout the finals. Big show coming up today. Stephen Crichton from the Panthers, who've now won 15 straight, and Parramatta coach Brad Arthur joins us after last night's win as well. So some big guests coming up. Just before I go to my panel of experts today, we always do Maroons poll, and you can vote at the Triple M NRL Facebook page or at Triple M underscore NRL. I think of all the crazy gifts that just keep on giving, that keep coming out of the Broncos this year, this disgraceful gender reveal at the end of the game was the most appalling thing I have seen. I don't like these gender reveals anyway. They are just getting out of hand, which I knew they would. But a team that's lost, what have they lost? They've won three games all year. I think they lost their last 15. They finished dead last. And then they have a gender reveal on the field at full time. It's a disgrace to that club. If I'm a member, I can only speak as a rugby league paid member of a club. I would be handing my membership in if I saw that. I am totally against it. I say no to the gender reveal. Do you agree with me or disagree? If you're for it, say yes. If you're not, say no. At Triple M underscore NRL, the Triple M NRL Facebook page. Broncos, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, you've really put the slipper into your members now. Gordon Tallis, welcome to you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Antoinette Maroon.
And congratulations on the Titans winning five games in a row.
Yeah, it was a great night, actually. I went down to... I went down to the coast to watch them, and they were at capacity for the COVID event, and there was a lot of Newcastle fans there as well, but it was a really good night, and they're playing some great footy, and it was a good way to finish them. I suppose you'd probably just give them a pass mark from getting a wooden spoon last year to finish in their ninth, but it was a good night, a good finish to the Gold Coast.
They won five in a row, but they hardly played Melbourne and the Roosters and Souths and Parra, did they? Paul Kent from NRL 360.
Yeah, true, they didn't play the Souths or the Roosters and Melbourne, but they did win five, Anthony.
Yeah, they did.
I will say this. I tell you what, I think Cronulla are very lucky that it's a shortened season because I think the Gold Coast were coming to get them for eighth spot. We've had a competition that obviously reduced from 25 rounds or 24 games this year to 20. Four more games would have made it very interesting for that eighth spot, given how Cronulla are going and how the Titans are going.
All right.
Fitting to see you blowing
James
up.
James Hooper here,
thank
everybody.
You,
G'day,
Anthony.
James.
Fitting to see you blowing up about the gender reveal, given the events of the past 72 hours and round 20.
Because we're waiting for our own gender reveal.
Yes.
Oh, the SCC. Good. How were you feeling on Friday evening?
Oh, well, mate, I knew virtually from the word go that they weren't going to win the Knights. And then when Mitch Raines scored, Mitch Raines older than me. When he scored, I knew it was over.
Can I say something? Yeah, one of the great sort of phrases in sport, it's a cliche now, but the agony and the ecstasy. And I reckon that's your Friday night, Anthony. So you watch the Titans win the fifth in a row.
Yeah.
So you lose your bet.
Yep.
You've got to have the change. And then after that, the Rabbitohs go out and put 60 on the Roosters. Your hated enemy.
Yeah.
You're a well-known South fan. That's the ecstasy. Well, I'm hoping that's the ecstasy of the night, not the decision being made before you a little bit earlier.
Well, the Bunnies win. Whenever the Bunnies beat the Roosters, as always, we have a Chinese meal when the Bunnies win. Me and Miss Portugal are going to have Chinese all week this week. Sang Shui Bao, all up into some curry prawns and rice, all up into some Mongolian lamb, all up into the fresh special fried rice from Dumpling Queen at East Gardens. Chinese food. Get on the Bunnies for the finals, boys. Well, what a week it is. We're going to talk more about all that. We've got Stephen Crichton coming up from the Panthers. We've got Brad Arthur coming up from Parramatta, who's been good enough to give us his time. Let's have a look at some of those games. And, Gordy, the Panthers made it 15 straight, and they go into the finals just absolutely in cruise control. Once again, yesterday, we see them rest a couple of very influential players, and they still did it. It was like a training run.
Yeah, they're just so classy, aren't they, the Panthers at the moment? Everything they do has just got... I'm a touch of class, and, you know, for me, it's that Jerome Luai. And I know that we always talk about Cleary, Nathan, he's had an amazing season and, you know, might win the Dally M medal. But I tell you what, he's got a good right-hand man there. And that's what happens. You know, they got so much depth, Penrith, but they just go on with their business. And I know it was the Bulldogs and they beat the Bulldogs, but... You know, it was probably a bit of a danger game for them leading into the finals.
Yeah, but if you're going to put a line through recent form, they played the Bulldogs. Bulldogs beat South.
Yeah.
South beat the Roosters.
Yeah, it's so, hard to...
Right?
Mm.
How do you figure that out? There should be a swab then.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Yeah, well, they've been awarded the minor premiership trophy. As Gordy said, that Luai, he's played every game this year. He probably doesn't get the raps as the Clearys and the Kickows and that, but he's a wonderful little player. They're all good, though, Paul. They shift around the deck chairs. They give a few arrests, a week off, and they still come out and look like world beaters.
Yeah, look, they've just got a real hot roster, haven't they, the Panthers? The way the young guys are coming through that you haven't heard a lot of, I think the way that Ivan Cleary's blooded them this season, they're all just really growing as footballers. It's just a magnificent squad being put together. And look, I don't know what the future holds this year, but certainly this time next year they're still in the fight, and potentially the year after they're in the fight as well, given this current roster. I don't see a lot of movement there. They're going to obviously let a few players have to go to try and keep everybody under the cap. But they are in magnificent shape, the Panthers.
Yeah, well, I suppose, Hoops, if you're Trent Barrett, yesterday I made the comment, you wouldn't know whether to laugh or cry, would you? I mean, he leaves that wonderful Panthers side, and by geez, that roster at the Dogs has got some work to do.
Yeah, it was probably a little bit similar to yourself Friday evening, as Paul pointed out earlier, Anthony, the agony and the ecstasy.
Yeah.
So, you know, terrific result for the Panthers, but at the same time, yeah, a lot of rebuilding to be done at the Bulldogs. It's in the newspapers today that they're targeting Matt Burton and also the Forbes Ferrari, Charlie Staines, two damn good players. So if they can land them, that'll go a long way towards helping Trent Barrett rebuild the Bulldogs.
Absolutely. Boys, let's just talk about some of the issues to come out of that game. Luke Thompson, an allegation of an eye gouge from Luke Thompson on James Tarmow, and the evidence, the Triple M Coates High replay showed, it looked pretty clear. It just feels to me like... Hoops, that these guys that come over from the Super League, with due respect to the Super League, they've got a different set of moral standards when it comes to eye gouging and biting and etc. etc. I mean, I don't know if it's Dodge City over there in the Super League, but I mean, that looked pretty damaging, that footage yesterday.
Well, eye gouging is one of those things, as you know, Gordon would know, having played the game at the elite level. It's a no-go zone. Like you don't go there. So if he will be charged for it, and
he has been charged,
he'd be looking a long time on the side.
He's been referred, so he's going straight to the judiciary, which means that he's looking. If he gets found guilty, at minimum 5 weeks, I think it is.
Yep.
So he's in a bit of bother. The one thing about eye gouging is one of those things that there's just no defence for. I don't know why. You're right, Anthony, about sometimes the players come from overseas and they get a little bit more liberal with their fouls against the opposition. I think that's a couple of reasons. I think it's part of a bit more of the culture over there. I think there's less TV coverage, so there's more chance of getting away with it. Here, it's very difficult to get away with it. We knew as soon as there was an allegation made on the field, it wouldn't be long till I found the camera angle. And once you saw the camera angle, well, it's just very hard to defend. Like, because the one thing he'll argue, he didn't know that his fingers were in his eye. But anybody that's ever done that accidentally, you know straight away where your fingers are, and you know to immediately pull out.
Yeah.
I just think it's just one of those things that the game's not the game's not better for having it in there. You just got to get rid of it.
Look, the only defence he would have is his fingers probably didn't hook, but any pressure on the eyes is no good.
Pressure on the eye hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can hurt. And the other thing, it's actually scary because the first thing you think about is your vision. So it's something you shouldn't have to be subjected to when you're playing a game of football. Yeah.
Mm. Boys, on the Bulldogs, we talk about Trent going there next year, Trent Barrett and a couple of players that he'd like to get there. But obviously yesterday they said goodbye to probably half a dozen players. So if you're a Doggies fan, Hoops, you think, well, we're probably going to spend a bit of time down here around the bottom.
Well, they need to make some changes, don't they? Because, you know, they've nearly collected the wooden spoon this season. It's been a poor year for them. Haven't won very many games, and they need to try and shake things up a bit. So, yes, they did bade farewell to some players that have been there for a long time. Aidan Tolman, for example, is featured in a couple of grand finals for the Doggies. But Trent Barrett needs to go in, and he needs to put his own stamp on things, and he wants to make some changes. I think there's enough there at the Bulldogs, irrespective, that they can quickly... It's not a massive rebuild.
Oh,
I reckon
really?
They can quickly bounce... I think the Bulldogs can quickly bounce back, correct.
They've got to be astute in who they go after. And sometimes you see clubs lose their nerve a little bit and they offer over some players who aren't worth it, who are by then surviving on reputation. Already, you've only got to look at what Barrett's doing, who he's going after. The fact, you know, Burton and the younger kids, Staines and that, their kids on, they've got plenty of football ahead of them. When the Knights began way back, the club had a policy. They went after the twos. They went after toughness and tomorrows. So you had to have plenty of toughness in your game, but you also had to have plenty of tomorrows in your game. They didn't want old blokes coming in, and it really stood the Knights well back then, and it gave them a platform to build off. And I just think that that's where the Canterbury, where they are right now, they've got to start thinking that way. Rather than going after faded players who may or may not have a year or two left in them, perhaps they should be going after blokes who are going to say, well, mate, it's going to take you 2 years to really start hitting your straps. Mm. But, mate, that's when we need you, and we'll have the patience until then.
Okay.
We saw Matt Burton get an opportunity yesterday, and he looks a good player, doesn't he, Kenny? He played in the centres yesterday, 5/8 his best position. He's nice and robust, likes to run the football. I think he's going to have a good NRL career ahead of him.
Yeah, but those Penrith players, they can't sit behind each other. I think Luai is showing, because there was, you know, talk that Luai was going to get shown the door because Burton was going to be such, you know, like an unbelievable player and go past him. Well, Luai's holding him off.
Yes. Luai's had a great season. Yeah,
and Penrith are right on top of the table because of the combination he does have with Nathan Cleary. So, you know, I don't know whether it's Nathan's decision to say, well, listen, well, which one do I pick? But the one he's got at the moment seems to be working.
Yeah.
So does Burton sit behind him for another 2 years?
Well, the funny thing is too, Gordon, when Trent Barrett first got the job, came out pretty quickly that he'd given a pledge to the Panthers that he wouldn't be poaching any of their players, and it made perfect sense and it kept everything harmonious there at the club. But if I'm Ivan Cleary and I'm looking at the way Luai's going, I'm thinking, well, mate, Burton might be the guy to let go here, because the fact is, if you're going to let him go, you're letting him go to the club that's coming 15th.
Yeah.
Like he's less danger to you from a, you know, from a
as opposed to going to the Roosters or somewhere like
Roosters
that.
Yeah, or Roosters or, you know, like a top four team or a top eight team.
All right, boys, I'll just interrupt you there for a second because we've got a very special guest on the line from the Penrith Panthers joining us for the first time on the Sunday Sin Bin, Stephen Crichton. Welcome and congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Happy to be here. Good to have a chat with you guys for the first time. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good on you, mate. 15 wins in a row. Congratulations. For a young bloke like you, it must be an amazing feeling to be a part of all that.
Yeah, 100%. Especially because it's my first year. It's been it's good for me to have my first year having a lot of wins like this. But credit to the boys because they're playing really good footy and it makes me look good as well. So, yeah.
Stephen, when you began playing this year and obviously got through a certain period of the season, and you guys must have thought, you know what, we've got a serious football team here. Can you remember when that happened?
Probably when we first started, we had a big test up against the world champions, Roosters, our very first game. We wanted to set like our intentions right from the start. Started with our preseason as well, coming in, learning a lot of new things, especially having Trent Barrett come in as well. He's taught us a lot of new things as well. So, yeah, just about, it was mostly during the preseason, training hard and stuff and just building our culture together. But, yeah, getting that first win against Roosters really was an uplift for us. And, yeah, I think it was from then.
Stephen, you look very connected as a playing group. Can you give us a bit of an insight about what it is amongst this Penrith group that has you all celebrating and hooting and hollering, and you look like you're genuinely enjoying your football at all times?
Yeah, 100%. For me especially, it was a lot of the boys from my same area, Mount Druitt, me, Brian, Spencer, Moses, Tyrone May, Jerome. That's probably why we're so close, but I think it's because all of us come from the same, we're all juniors from Penrith, all of the younger boys. So I think that's where most of our connection comes from, because we've played, coming through SG Ball 20s Cup. So we've all known each other throughout the past few years, and now to play first grade all together, I think it was a big step forward that we've already played before this year. So, yeah, I think that was the main big step for us.
Yeah, we made the comment yesterday during the call, Stephen, that also the Panthers got a great representation of players from rural New South Wales, like Liam Martin, who's from Tamora, but specifically my favourite at the moment is Brent Naden, and I just love the way he plays, and he's a real breath of fresh air.
Yeah, 100%. Those country boys bring a lot to our team. And I feel like ever since they've come in, they've been real welcoming, and especially Liam Martin and Brent Naden, they're the biggest pests in our team. So they're probably the top two annoying at our team. So yeah, I think that's just the way they are. But yeah, they play a really good footy as well.
Stephen, I remember talking to Gus Hiddink once about the Socceroos, and he was talking about characters insides, and he said the blokes who are the scallywags and the pests, he said they're the guys you need. He said because when you're in times of adversity, their character stands up, and these guys are certainly doing that.
Yeah, 100%. I got asked this before, but yeah, Brent Naden and Mardo, anything outside footy, they're always being pest like in and around training. But once we hit the field for training, they got their footy heads on. So yeah, they've got good personalities, and they know when to change from being a pest to footy players. And I think that's what makes them good people as well.
Can you give us an indication of what they do when they're being a pest?
Oh, we're just standing there getting ready for video, and they'll come and start pinching our ears and stuff. There was a time where him and Jerome were going at it, and one of their bags ended up in the ice bath. So, yeah, they take it pretty far, but yeah, like when it comes back to footy, we're all pretty close, but yeah, they're real big pests as well.
Obviously, the first week of the finals, you guys take on the Roosters. They're coming off a walloping against South Sydney. How do you beat the Roosters next Friday night?
I think it was just stick to what we do best and play our footy game. I know Roosters will, even though they had that loss, they're a really good team, and that's the only reason why they've won two premierships. So I know that they'll be coming, and they'll be a totally different team to what they played, how they played against Rabbitohs. And yeah, we'll be prepping for that. And I reckon just us playing our footy and playing to what we know, our strengths, I reckon will give us a pretty good chance to winning it.
The rest of the competition, mate, the shortened competition, the comeback from COVID, how have you guys handled that differently, do you think, than other teams? Did you come up with a strategy that helped you get through it? Because a lot of people are talking about mental welfare and about how tough it's been, but the Panthers as a group look very, almost like life's a celebration at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. We really actually, we spoke about that before the COVID break, the best team that handles this COVID break when we went into isolation, when the comp stopped, coach and our staff were talking to us that the best team that takes on that break will go a long way to winning the comp and winning some games. So in that break, Penrith gave us everything we needed, gym equipment, and gave us schedules that we had to do. So, to keep us on our feet, our club was on Zoom calls just for us to stay connected and stuff, and we're into little groups. so that we can go and train in little groups as well. But yeah, I think that's where it first started as well, in that break, to keep us accountable. And but yeah, that was just what our staff were talking to us about, that whoever handles that break the best, because we're all going through it, so there was no like excuses if any other team was to handle it more than us, because we're all going through the same thing. But yeah, that was just what coach and our staff were talking, that whoever handles it will go a long way to winning good footy games and getting us into a good position to where we are now.
Yeah, because it's a fascinating thing, because a lot of coaches came out of the COVID break, and I found it interesting. A few of them were going, well, look, there's no manual on how to handle this. There's no way we should be able to handle this. And you said, well, hang on, this is up to you now. This is what you get paid the big bucks for. Go out and figure a way to get your club through this. And Ivan's done a tremendous job of getting you blokes ready.
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, the club were good enough to lend us our gym equipment to keep us so we're not underdone when we come back in, and give us schedules, training schedules to what we do if we were still in the comp and we were still training through that. So I reckon that's gone a long way to help us to like stay on top of our fitness and stay on top of our weights so that we were ready to play footy when we came back, so we didn't have to have that catch up for like to trying to get fit again. Instead we're using that time to still prepare while we're by ourselves.
Mate, there's some great contenders for Origin this year in your position. You'd be one of them, obviously. You've been outstanding this year. Have you given any thought to playing Origin and Origin being after the grand final this year?
Oh, I don't know. My parents tell me a lot that they really want me to play for it. But like I always tell them and everyone else, really concentrating on playing good footy for Penrith. And anything bonus onto the end of the year will be good. But yeah, just focusing on still trying to develop my game for the club. And yeah, just playing good footy.
Good on you, Stephen. Good to catch up, mate. All the very best next week in the finals.
Thanks. Thanks, boys. Take care.
Good on you, mate. Stephen Crichton joining us here on the Sunday Sinbin. We do it thanks to our mates at Bryden's Lawyers with Hoops, Kenty and Gordon Tallis Maroon here. Of course, there's plenty to get through today. We'll still speak to Brad Arthur. And, of course, remembering Maroon's poll today, I was absolutely completely put off by that gender reveal from the Broncos on Thursday night. I thought it was way off the mark considering the season they've had, all standing around like a bunch of Sheilas after the game and having a gender reveal like a Tupperware party. It was disgraceful. If I'm a Bronco supporter, I'm filthy on that, and I am saying no to the gender reveal. Maybe you're saying yes. We'll get on the Triple M NRL poll and say no, and I'll know you're with me, or yes, and I know you think that it was okay.
The disappointing thing, Anthony, about that is this is a club with absolutely no connection about what they've done for this year and what their fans are feeling. The fact that they can sit there having just lost to the Cowboys, who aren't travelling flash themselves, lost to the Cowboys, to sit there and then think that anybody gives a rat's ass about a gender reveal, which was his third kid, by the way. It's not like it was his first, which is a more monumental moment. It was his third kid, and the gender reveal, they all sat there and then cheered and celebrated like that actually won something. I just thought it was, it showed me exactly where the Broncos as an organisation are. The fact that the players cared so little about the result, weren't upset after the game, that they just delivered the club their very first wooden spoon. The fact that the coaching staff, the fact that the management allowed it to happen, is just embarrassing. It is so not professional standards. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Hoops.
Yeah, I think probably the most shameful thing about it is the fact that it was orchestrated. It was preordained. Yeah. It was rehearsed. It was deliberately, you know, they'd taken time to go away and come up with that as a concept.
But Hoops, the minute they then lost the game, it should have been canned. You'd cop it if they'd won the game.
Yeah. Yep.
But the minute they lost the game to
deliver the club's first wooden spoon in 32 seasons.
And then they're not even embarrassed about it, this group of players. Yeah. Not even embarrassed about it. Mm. They'll just put it all at Anthony Seibold's feet in years to come. Oh, that was Seibs. Wasn't us.
Yeah.
He didn't miss any tackles.
Gordon?
Personally, it's there's no good time to do it. If you finish first, you say that you're a bunch of smart asses.
Yeah.
And there's no place for it. This is footy. And if you finish 15th, just after they win and they finish 15th, there's no perfect timing to do it. Maybe at training. Maybe Thursday at training. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, yeah. It's not for a footy, you know. I think Darius, for Darius that's been so private his whole career, you know, pretty much had the roller door shut, didn't he, on the media,
yes.
On everybody. Now to go so public with something, it's strange. I don't know what – I hope it wasn't the club's effort to say, well, these blokes are human and is bigger than sport. Well, of course it's sport, but you're paid really good money to win.
Mm. All right. Well,
but you're also asking your members and your fans who turned up there. Those fans turned up there Thursday night hoping to see the Broncos get off the bottom of the ladder. And all they saw were their players not have a go and then celebrate a third child being a girl.
Yeah.
That was the biggest effort the players made on the night. The players at right now, the RLPA, are sitting down negotiating with the NRL about their salaries and how the salary cap, whether it's a 5% cut in the $10 million salary cap or a 10% cut. And they're arguing it's because they're professional athletes and the standards that they need to meet. And yet here are these blokes on the field celebrating a pink football getting kicked.
Just awful. I mean, honestly, if you're a paid member, I can only speak as a member of a football club. That is, your money's been flushed down the toilet this year, and that was a slap in the face. So what do you think? Go to Maroon's poll at MMM_NRL. If you agree with me, say no. I don't like the gender reveal. No. But if you're okay with it, say yes. James, the human tricep hooper, the great Paul Kent, and Gordon, the raging bull. Tell us. We'll come back with more as MMM rocks the finals.
Sunday Sydney.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Okay, welcome back to it. We do it for Bryden's Lawyers. If you missed the scores for Tyre Power, Cowboys 32, Broncos 16, but the gender reveal went well. Thank God for that. Titans 36, Knights 6, South 60, Roosters 8, Panthers 42, Dogs 0, that's 15 straight. Raiders 38, Sharks 28, Parramatta 28, Tigers 24. The top 8 is now Panthers, Melbourne, Parramatta, Roosters, Canberra, South, Knights, Sharks. That won't change. Finals week 1, Penrith versus Roosters Friday, Saturday Storm, Para, and also Saturday Raiders, Sharks again, and Sunday Rabbitohs, Knights. Let's talk about the Rabbitohs, who put 6-0, that's right, 60 on the Roosters on Friday evening. It was a wonderful, wonderful performance for the mighty Rabbitohs. And for Alex Johnson, who got 5 tries in all. But, I mean, even in your wildest dreams, you wouldn't think that you could put 60 on the Roosters. I tell you what, I don't think in our lifetime we will see anyone do it. I don't think we'll see him play that bad again.
I can't think of a side that has had 60 put on them and then bounced back and been able to do something in the finals. So it's a frightening alarm bell for the Chooks.
I reckon it's 50. If you get 50 put on you,
yep,
I've you always just an unofficial rule that yep. You won't win the grand final. So if the Roosters do it,
yep.
They're breaking a lot of hoodoo. So
yes.
You know, and I know that they're arch enemies, but South haven't been setting the world on fire.
They got bizarre, beaten by Canterbury the week before.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and only survived a scare against the Tigers a week prior to that. So,
Cody Walker was outstanding. Geez, I love the way he plays his footy. And to a point, I was just watching the footy show before I come here, and Freddie's put him, he goes, he'll be in the New South Wales Origin squad. But it's important how he plays next week and a week after to see, you know, whether he'll grab the number 6 jersey. Well, he was up against the guy that was going to wear the number 6.
Yeah.
Mm. And he beats him 60-8.
It's very hard if you're Trent Robinson, and look, I don't want to underplay how great the Rabbitohs were, but the bigger story was the Roosters and how they just so spectacularly collapsed. And you wonder how Trent Robinson turns them around now, how in the space of a week, when they've now got to come up against, Penrith?
Yep.
Yep.
On Friday night. So to get them ready now for finals football, when there's no explanation, is it enough, Gordy, do you think, to be able to say, listen, guys, let's just throw that game in the can and move forward, or do they have to address it?
Oh, no, I think you've got to address it. Mate, it's really hard because I was thinking, I reckon before a final series, I think the Roosters might have put 30 on us, but like we're all injured and I don't think Lockie played and Alf didn't play. And then we bounced back and I think we met him in the grand final. But it's a hard one because you got to address because it was defence and defensively they've been so good, but they just got pulled apart. They got pulled out of their structure and when it was one-on-one defence, they actually just couldn't hold South Sydney. And I don't think South Sydney would throw in too much at them, but they just looked like superstars. And every sort of little play that they went, they were out of numbers. They were, you know, they weren't reading it properly. So do you fix that? You know?
Yeah.
You certainly have to address it because it is defence and that's attitude.
Do you reckon it was attitude? Because I know obviously their attitude wasn't great, but it looked at times that they almost played like strangers in defence. Didn't quite know that. Yeah, you know, every coach you ever talk to about defence always talks about how they operate as a unit and work as a unit, and guys help each other make decisions. The Roosters defended like it was in the old days, where you just did your best on your own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, the old days there was no patterns in defence, no structure. You just got back in the line wherever you were and ran up and tackled the bloke if he was running at you, and that seemed to be how they were. Like I looked at, I think it was. Josh Morris there at one point just he kept getting stuck in no man's land and Walker just terrorised him. I just thought it was really uncharacteristic about the way they went about it. And again, I don't know whether it can be a simple fix.
The other huge result Friday evening, Anthony, was the Gold Coast Titans, 5 in a row. What a tremendous finish to the season for that club. To their coach, Justin Holbrook, congratulations. Done a brilliant job with the roster that he's got. And he'll be bringing some really high-profile, big-name recruits there next season. Future looks very bright, but obviously also hinging on that result was your good self, Anthony, and the SCC.
Yeah.
And your future is now looking extremely bright.
I just want to say, you guys have gone completely away from the running sheet. Is this what's happened here? Do you know about? Oh, this is another stitch up. Is it? Oh. This Tom Birmingham,
Anthony, the hormones are affecting you.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Now you've gone away from the running sheet. My side just beat the Roosters 60-8.
Listen, Dale.
So you finished with the round. I mean, it was a record win over the Roosters. Alex Johnson scored 5 tries. Corey Allen had a blinder. And this is a big story. And you want to turn this into, you want to trivialise this by going back to this sex change nonsense. I want to say, before we do that, Gordon, it would be a brave, brave human being to write the Roosters off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, absolutely. But it's going to be a, it's got to be a coaching miracle. You know what I mean? Like to turn them around, like, do they not watch video? Just start, you know, like, do they try to forget about it and go there? I don't know what they do. There's two ways. You just address it really quickly or pretend it didn't happen.
Well, if there's anyone that's going to write the Roosters off, it's the master of the absurd proposition, Antonia Maroon.
Mate, I would never write them off, no.
So, sweetheart, what have you got to say?
I've got to say that the Rabbitohs beat them 60-8. That's right.
What have you decided in terms of names? What are you thinking there?
Antoinette?
Mate, I'm not
Antonia?
Thinking. The truth.
Antonia.
I actually like Priscilla.
Yeah.
I think it suits you.
Well, look, I just, let me just for
personal
once.
Personal favourite was, we should put that at the poll. Priscilla or Billie Jean?
Billie Jean.
Mate, I tell you what we need to put to the poll.
You have got a lot of traction around town about Billie Jean.
I know that I went for a stroll down Redfern Street this morning on my way here to get a coffee, and the number of people that come up to me and said, it's the greatest stitch-up, it's the greatest hatchet job that's ever been done on a human being.
The vessel?
And for all those people, yeah, the vessel was there, actually, getting his yaya.
Was Ezzy there?
Getting his yaya's prescription.
Ezzy's
dead.
Okay.
Listen.
Duffy was.
The thing is here that it's the greatest stitch up ever, this sex change nonsense.
But it's not a stitch up. It's
a stitch up.
Tape.
It's on tape.
Anthony,
but today,
all the listeners are across it because
today,
they've heard the
we'll
audio.
We'll hear the whole tape. We'll hear the whole, whole audio today. And Paul.
Well, who
Paul,
knows what else is going to happen?
When I was at C-Bus, it was a talk in the hallways. Every time I walked out of the corporate box to go to the toilet, is it really going to happen? Good luck. I posted a photo of myself. Everybody can't wait. to see and to listen to our show, Anthony. Mate, you know what? You've become famous for the silly things you say.
It seems to me the Titans are in more trouble than they've ever been because they've won 5 games in a row. They might have played one good team, one final team. They won 5 games in a row. I'm sick to death of this. I'm sick to death of the Titans. I used to go to the Gold Coast for a holiday twice a year. I go to Syria now before I go to the Gold Coast. So get that up, yeah. And we're going to play the full audio today of this.
Make sure you dress appropriately over there.
Let's take a break and we'll come back and get this thing back on track as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it, and we do it thanks to our friends at Bryden's Lawyers, and so too for Tyre Power. The scores, of course, just for last night now. Yesterday, Panthers beat the Dogs 42-0, 15 straight now for the Panthers. Raiders 38, Sharks 28, Parramatta 28, Tigers 24. Finals week one, Friday, Penrith Roosters, Triple M will call that. Storm Paris Saturday, Triple M will call that. Raiders Sharks will call that Saturday. Rabbitohs night Sunday, we call that as well. A couple of emails come in at Triple M_NRL. Love the show. This is from Rowena, listening in Warragamba, who says, love the show, blah, 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 blah. Are you guys going through Origin? Look, we're doing everything we possibly can. We're getting lots and lots of people asking us, will we be on air through Origin? We're doing our very best. Rowena?
We are fit and available, Anthony, if they need us. We absolutely are more than fit and available. Mm. We've got the Raging Bull on board, an Origin legend, and we will be absolutely ready to rock and roll.
You know that I'll take a financial haircut. I've done it before and I'll do it again. If it's for COVID, I'll take a financial haircut. Gordon, it is time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Yes, welcome. This is where you just get to get something off your chest. I mean, I've got a list of grievances as long as your arm today of things I'd like to get off my chest. But I just want to say,
what surgeon?
I just want to say, like, our producer Tom Birmingham. I told him something before. It was hilariously funny. People couldn't stand up after I said it, and after I said it, he said, "Lol." I mean, he'd be at the Broncos gender reveal night, wouldn't he? Oh. The Broncos Tupperware party. Lol. Who says lol? An 8-year-old girl? What are you, in year 7? Anyway, that's my I Call BS. What about you, Paul?
Look, I want to call against the Broncos. Surprise, surprise. Not for the gender reveal. I want to talk about a club that's just it's so off the mark at the moment that after the game on Thursday night, after the gender reveal, fans in their disgust at the way the club has performed this season started tossing wooden spoons onto the ground to protest or to reveal their protest about what's happened. And rather than someone from the club of any standing, like the CEO or even the players, they sent out one of the blokes, the all-round good blokes at the club, a bloke called Matthew Middleton, who's been around the club forever as the odd job bloke. Whatever's needed to be done, he'll do. This is one job he shouldn't have been asked to do.
Yeah.
He's been at the club for the best part of 30 years. He's been there for all the great years. And they sent him out to pick up the wooden spoon while they all sat in there celebrating the pink bomb.
Yeah, disgraceful.
It's just disgraceful. Yeah. And seriously, at some point this club needs to figure out what it looks like to be a professional football club.
Mm.
They have lost their way so badly, and it should have begun. I know it would have been a bit of a stunt, but it should have begun with the players being sent out to pick up the spoons.
Mm. Okay. Someone like Paul, I did see that as well, and Matty's been there, and I think when Darren Lockyer retired, he wrote that he was in the top 5 people. He was a guy that started, he used to do our fan mail, he started up doing all the odd jobs up in the head office, you know, and then now he's like the gear steward, Matty. He's the loveliest fella, and every club needs a guy like Matty because he will do anything, but that's not his job.
And that's one thing he should never have been asked to do.
No. But do you know what should happen? Because he filled it. I don't know how many was there. I reckon he picked up about 60, but I lost count because I took my shoes off and only got to 10. But I reckon he was picking them up for a while. They should maybe get a bit of concrete, stick a few in, and sit it in the club somewhere.
Mm.
You know, just so you walk past, you know, what can happen.
Yeah.
you know, or just show that footage of.
I tell you where they should put it. They should put it in that little doorway between their luxurious dressing rooms and the training field.
Yeah.
Just to remind them how hard they need to work to avoid it again.
Or give every player two of them, and every time they toss a salad, they'll think about how they won the wooden spoon, the first one for the Broncos. And now, Hoops, would you like to call BS on anything, you imposter?
You tossing salads, Anthony?
Not
anymore. It's always interesting whenever you're tossing salads. So, look, yeah, I'm going to call BS, Anthony, on your very good self once again. You know, we want to talk about gender revealing. Mm. Once again, you've written a check that your body can't cash.
Yeah.
You are the king of cash.
But he's getting surgery to correct that.
Well, perhaps. But this is it. You never, like, whether it was the Roosters cheerleader bet, you did come through on the grand final. I'll grant you that. Mm, you did sing Advance Australia Fair at the grand final. I was there, witnessed it, and enjoyed it, as did a lot of the fans who were present on the day. But this one, the Gold Coast Titans, it was an insult. You were taking the mickey out of the club, and it's come back to bite you.
Right. Well, it hasn't really, because we'll hear. When can we hear the actual real audio? Have you got it? Have you? Felix is out.
Oh, here we go. This has been doctored.
Let's have a listen to the real audio.
Who's listening, this is doctored.
This is what actually did happen. I tell you what, if they win five in a row, don't worry about breast implants. I'll get a sex change. No, I won't. I'm just kidding. Yeah. All right, boys, we'll take a break. Yeah, you might have heard me say I'm just kidding about a dozen times in there.
Well, so that's the doctored.
That's nonsense, right?
Anthony, you've been in here all day working.
How could I do
that? Especially.
I'm not going down this road. We've got to take a break. You are all idiots, and that's why I'm pulling the pin on this nonsense after the grand final. You'll have to get some other palooka to put up with your garbage.
So that's the end of you. That's all done.
That's done.
This is the retirement.
This is it. I'm done. I'm out of here. You blokes will have to beg me to come back. Let's take a break. It's Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Sunday CB.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
Welcome back to it. We're doing it thanks to King G. We're doing the scores thanks to Tyre Power 2, Parramatta 28, Tigers 24, Raiders 38, Sharks 28, and of course Panthers 42-0 over the Dogs. Yesterday, a couple of games to play too this afternoon. The next one off, the next cab off the rank at 2 o'clock is Manly and the Warriors. Last week, Manly were beaten by, well, they were, I can't remember who beat them, but the Titans, of course. But it was rare you see a Manly side not show up. And today I think it's going to be the same with the Warriors. I think the Warriors get them.
Yeah, I think the Warriors are a good show today. I'm really worried that Manly just so skinny on depth at the moment that they're really just running on fumes. And the fact that they got Tom Trbojevic back last week and he lasted not the full game, so they're without him again today. I just think it's a Manly side. They've just had one campaign too many.
Yeah. Is that how you see it, Hoops? I mean, it has been an awful year for Manly.
Yeah, look, it's been a tough season for the Seagulls, as Kenny just pointed out. Depth was always going to be their biggest challenge. And I think at the beginning of the season, at full strength, plenty of people were tipping that they could be a bit of a smoky as a side. And they showed glimpses of that, certainly more so last season. But once they get a couple of injuries, I think the court case against Manasi Fanu has hindered their season immensely, because he's one of the best young players in the game, and him being unavailable for the whole season meant they had to go and buy Danny Levi from Newcastle. But it's been a disappointing season for the Seagulls. Probably the best news for them over the course of the last week has been they're going to sign Kieran Foran.
Yeah.
They'll pick Kieran up and bring him back to the club. Yeah, I reckon it's a risk worth taking though, Gordy. Like, he played a lot of footy this season. I know he got injured towards the back end, but he actually played up until he got busted. He played every game.
What about
for the wooden spoon?
Yeah, but Gordy, let me say, I thought when Foran was out running out, Canterbury were a much better side when he was there.
Oh yeah, hey, listen, he's a great player. Kieran Foran's a great player. He takes the ball. He's a great option. Like, if you look at Manly, you know, as we said, so they had no number nine, and Tommy was injured for most of the year. So it was Daly Cherry Evans, and they had a 5'8" that sort of doesn't play a lot of 5'8" in Walker. So he's going to make him a better. He's going to make him a better team, but how much footy is left in that body? He has squeezed a lot out of that orange. He's a tough kid, Kieran.
Yeah.
I just don't know how much longer his body can hold up for.
That comes down to value for money, though, Gordon. Like, if he was coming at you top dollar, which is what he was on at Canterbury, you'd say, mate, not a chance.
Yeah.
But if he's coming for the right amount of money and you can afford him in your cap, and Des Haslam wants to play him dummy half. That's where he wants to play him. And that's...
How's his body going to hold up playing dummy half, do you reckon?
Well, I think the fact he's not going to be taking the ball to the line as a playmaker and not copping those hits could actually help him. Like, it's probably going to be a little bit of change in training. He's going to have to have a little bit more endurance in there. But he's a clever footballer. If they've got, you know, Farnow comes back into the team, they can use him shock value to come on and do whatever. I just think that the way that Des will get him fit, he'll have enough in him to be able to do it. And I think he's not a 5'8". I think as he's getting older and that line that he runs where he gets belted and he's so brave when he runs it, that's what's really sort of knocked, you know, to use Gordon, that's what squeezed all the juice out of him. And I just think that playing dummy half, you might be able to get a different performance out of him, because that's what they needed, was someone with a bit of vision in the dummy half role this season.
You're right. He is a victim of his own toughness in terms of all the injuries that Kieran's had. You know, like, he's always been a playmaker who is happy, more than happy to run the ball into the teeth of the defence and really take the line on. And that's, as a result of that, is that he has picked up, you know, quite a few serious injuries along the way.
Okay, boys, before we close the chapter on the Warriors for the season, though, we have to just quickly surmise what they've been through this year. They came to Australia to play in the comp during COVID. They were in Tamworth. They rebased themselves on the Central Coast. They've had some of their best players go home. They've had Blake Green leave to go to another club. They've had a coach sacked, yet they've won 7 games. They've aimed up every week, bar perhaps once. What a year it's been for the Warriors, and it'll be coached by Nathan Brown next year, and every chance hoops that they'll be still in Australia.
They've been magnificent, Anthony, no question. They deserve all the credit that they get. No side's had more challenges, and I think that we'll actually reference the Warriors as an example in years to come of what they were prepared to sacrifice this season. And the fact that they did manage to keep turning up and finding results and jagging a few wins for their interim coach in Toddy Payton, who'll obviously go up and join the Cowboys. Will they be in Australia next year? Yeah, I think at this stage, it's appearing as though they probably will, despite your best efforts. I think you wanted to move to Redcliffe, didn't you?
That's where they're going, Redcliffe.
Yeah, but I think you wanted to move there permanently, didn't you?
I did discuss it, but just some more stuff for you to kick me over, mate. But we'll get a chance.
They will be based out of Redcliffe, Anthony.
In the course of the show, we'll get a chance to reveal to our listeners what you tried to do to me yesterday. As my wife says to me, I'll tell everyone what you're really like. And Hoops, I'll tell everyone what you're really like. Let's take a break. It's just about kickoff up there on the Sunny Coast. Warriors and Manly as Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.